My guest at this time is Catherine Herridge, national correspondent for the Fox News Channel. She covers Homeland Security, the intelligence community, as well as the Justice Department. She's also the author of the recently published book, The Next Wave, on the hunt for Al-Qaeda's American recruits. If you heard my interview with Catherine a couple of months ago, you'll know that a big focal point of her book is the work of Anwar al-Awlaki, the American-born radical Islamic cleric, that's very same cleric who was killed in a recent Predator drone strike with the help of Yemeni intelligence. And Catherine, thanks so much for being with us.
Sure, thank you for having me.
Well, you laid out very clearly in the book why al-Awlaki was so effective at recruiting radicals to carry out missions large and small. So with him rubbed out now, how significant is this to our homeland security efforts?
Well, it's significant because we not only took out Anwar al-Awlaki, who was born in New Mexico, but a Yemeni official confirmed to me that we also took out another American called Samir Khan from North Carolina, who was behind this web magazine called Inspire. I said it's kind of like the Martha Stewart living for would-be jihadists because it's a lifestyle magazine. I know it's funny, but it's actually very serious because it was very Western in its feel, and this was how they tried to reach out to people and pull them into al-Qaeda's ideology. So they've lost those two Americans. And while the Americans are important to us for obvious reasons, the foundation for the group is really two other individuals. A guy called Nasser al-Wahishi. He is a longtime aide to Osama bin Laden, who was held in prison in Yemen and escaped in 2006, which really laid the groundwork for this group that exists today. And then also a Saudi called Ibrahim al-Asiri. Not a household name either, but he's considered by U.S. officials really the best bomb maker that's working today. He was behind the underwear bomb plot in 2009. He was also behind those cargo printer bombs last fall that were set to detonate over the United States. And that bomb maker is really considered one of the top targets for the U.S. national security community.
So we still have, obviously, some major objectives out there. Catherine, clearly this has been a huge year for the United States, taking out some of the leading al-Qaeda figures, from bin Laden, of course, to one of the key planners of the embassy bombings from the late 90s, to now al-Awlaki and Samir Khan, as you pointed out, other top lieutenants taken out recently as well. Is this, in addition to those we still need to go after, who you just mentioned, crippling to al-Qaeda, or is it the case that others try to make that a lot of these parts are somewhat interchangeable?
I think the parts are somewhat interchangeable. What I lay out in the book in The Next Wave is that Osama bin Laden may be dead, but this may be where the future of the war on terrorism is going, that it's really much more of a franchise operation, the group in Yemen, the group in Somalia, and then we have this homegrown or lone wolf component. And what I lay out in the book is that we've had a case of homegrown terrorism every 2 to 3 weeks since January of 2009, and many of these cases were linked to what I call the digital jihad that was laid out by these Americans, Samir Khan and Anwar al-Awlaki. And as you know and your listeners know, once something is up on the web, you cannot get rid of it, unfortunately. It lives on forever. So today what happened is that Anwar al-Awlaki was killed. His followers will claim that he was martyred, and his legacy of hate, unfortunately, will live on.
If a lot of these parts are interchangeable, what are the strongest strides the United States government can make in our military and our allies?
Well, getting rid of al-Awlaki is certainly a big step in the right direction, because he was one of the people who was really actively pushing plots against the United States. What I find so striking is that the Obama administration has really embraced the counterterrorism toolbox that the Bush administration set up, and I would argue, in fact, that they have really expanded it. It's not a coincidence that we're seeing these drone campaigns in Yemen, Somalia. We may even start to see their use in North Africa, because the view is that they've been very successful in keeping these networks under pressure and making it hard for them to plot and to train and recruit people. Because basically, when you're worried about your own personal security and you're constantly looking up or over behind your back, you don't have a lot of energy to do plots. I mean, that's what it comes down to. So I think we can see an expansion of this program, which is probably very good for us in the short term, but long term, we haven't had a big capture in a long time where we've been able to interrogate somebody and gather a lot of information about how these new affiliates are operating. And that may not hurt us in the short term, but we may really feel the brunt of that 5 years down the road.
Catherine, as you well know, probably better than most, there's a little bit of a controversy over the targeting of Al-Awlaki because he was a United States citizen. Some say, you know, that regardless of the heinous acts that he's perpetrating and encouraging others to perpetrate, he probably should have been captured and interrogated unless he was directly in combat somehow. Others say this is a guy who is clearly a traitor, is declaring war on the United States, and this was absolutely legitimate. What do you think is the conventional wisdom inside the government?
Well, you've hit on what I think is going to be the tip of the spear in this story going forward, because since 9/11, we've seen more Americans, or what they call LPRs, legal permanent residents, join al-Qaeda. So we have to have a discussion about the criteria that an administration is going to use to put an American citizen on a kill list. Because what we had today was really the U.S. government became judge, jury, and executioner for Anwar al-Awlaki. And while he may be guilty of very heinous acts, we never saw the administration lay out publicly why they felt he deserved a spot on that kill list. At the same time, this administration wanted to take the five 9/11 suspects at Guantanamo Bay who were not born in the United States and bring them to a federal court in New York City and give them the presumption of innocence and full constitutional rights like an American citizen. So clearly, based on what I've laid out, you can see there's a real disconnect. And I think it's going to be important to have transparency about how we put Americans onto this list, because we want to be assured that our government is not going to put someone on that list in an arbitrary way. I don't think that happened in this case, but if the information and the evidence was so compelling against al-Awlaki, why not lay it out there publicly?
We're talking with Catherine Herridge of the Fox News Channel. Her book is The Next Wave, On the Hunt for Al-Qaeda's American Recruits. And Catherine, we know that the laundry list of what this guy is not only alleged, but for the most part, we're pretty sure he's associated with, and you certainly lay it out in the book, from harboring and encouraging 9/11 terrorists all the way back that far to the underwear bomber and the Times Square bomber. And one that's not being mentioned as much today, and I want to get your insight on that, is the inspiration he had for the Fort Hood shooter. And of course, the government was kind of reluctant in how they described that as a terrorist attack. Do you get the sense that there's an effort to still kind of keep that one a little bit less than the others on the pecking?
Right. I'm glad you asked about that. One of the things I want to just tell your listeners about the book is that I did not write this book to impress people inside the Beltway. If anything, I stirred the pot, frankly, by writing it. This is a book that's written for any American to pick up and kind of join me on our investigation and connect the dots. And we go to Guantanamo and Fort Hood and San Diego and Virginia, and we talk to some of the leaders of the intelligence community in Washington, and we piece together the story of this American, the leader of Al-Qaeda 2.0. And I can tell you, the people who've read the book are very angry at the end of the book because they feel that we're not completely fighting this war with all the tools we have. And the poster child for that is Nidal Hassan, the accused shooter at Fort Hood. He had this email relationship with Anwar al-Awlaki. Al-Awlaki was clearly seen as a bad actor at the time this was going on, yet nobody intervened. And in fact, it took the Obama administration 2 months to call Fort Hood an act of terrorism. And it was clearly not a drive-by shooting or a convenience store shooting. It fit the classic definition of terrorism, which is an act of violence to promote a political end.
Catherine, certainly a major story today, and as I'm sure you're discovering, a whole lot of other threads to follow as we go forward.
Glad you raised them.
Thank you, Catherine. Sure. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Catherine Herridge is a national correspondent for the Fox News Channel covering national security, homeland security, intelligence, and the Justice Department. Her new book is The Next Wave, On the Hunt for Al-Qaeda's American Recruits. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.